Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur on Daf Kuf Dalid 14 lines from the top. You will notice there is two dots toward the end of the line. The last word on line, Amri, we continue in the Gemara, Amri le Rabbonon le Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Rabbonon informed Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Osu dardiki ho'idno lebei midrasha. Ho'idno means today. That Dardiki, our youth, young people, children, came today to the base medrash, the Omru Mili, and they held forth, they said things, the Afilu Bimei Yeshua Ben Nun Lo Itmar Kavasayah, that even in the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, such things were not said. In other words, this is a statement of something extraordinary will be, they said, and we will now see in the Gemara. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have on the side of our Gemara a topic heading, where we've written Droshos Baosios. You'll notice that the Gemara expands on meanings behind different letters and what they represent. You'll notice in the markings a number of underlinings and diamonds. As far as the underlinings are concerned, if you skim ahead where you see an underline, you'll notice that the letters are highlighted. So we begin here, you see in the Gemara Aleph Beis, the next line you see Gimel Dalid, and a few lines later, the second wide line, you see Hey Vav, and Zayin Ches Tes Yud Chof Lamed, and etc. and so forth, going through the entire alphabet. Included in the underlining will be the final letters as well. So that when you get to the fourth wide line, you see Mem Psucha, Mem Stuma. And following each one of these will be a drusha, expounding forth on what the letters represent. In addition, the diamonds that appear are featured under our Mivneh heading, Mai Taimo. You'll see a lot of diamonds around the expression Mai Taimo. These are She'elos. They're questions, She'rubon, the majority of which, Be'inyan Tsuras Ha'osyos, questions regarding the shape and the formation of the different letters. Each point will become clear as we go along. We begin Aleph Beis. So the letter Aleph, who's called Aleph, is also a word. Aleph Bina means Aleph is to learn. Learn Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Dalid, Gimel Dalim. Gimel represents Gemol Dalim is to do acts of kindness to the Dalim. Dalim are the poor. That means to help the poor if it's a matter of giving tzedakah, giving charity to the poor. That's Gimel Dalid. My time, all here, we're going to focus in on letter formation when it comes to these two letters. My time, all, pshuta kare de Gimel legabi Dalid. When you look at the letters, the way they are written in succession, one to the other, you'll notice that the Gimel has a little leg on it, the left bottom part of the letter. Why is it that it is extended in the direction of the Dalid? Answer, Shekein Darko Shel Gomel Chasodim. It is the way of someone who does acts of loving kindness, Lorutz Achar Dalim, to pursue, to run after, to chase after the poor. So the leg of the Gimel is represented of the Gomil Chasam, the one who wants to do acts of kindness. It's extended toward the Dalid, which represents the poor. He's running after the poor to do an act of kindness to them. Umay time of Pshuta Kare the Dalid Legabi Gimel. Why is it that the leg of the Dalid, which is on the right-hand side of letter, which would be positioned in a way that it's positioned closer to the gimel than, let's say, to the hay. So that's the idea of the leg of the dalet is extended toward the gimel. Why is that? Answer, delimtzei lei nafshei, that one who is poor and he is aware that someone wants to help him out, he should make himself, the poor man should make himself available to the gomel chasadim so as to reduce the amount of effort that the gomel chasadim has to expound, has to expend, that is, to expend in trying to do his act of loving kindness. As Rashi says, the limsile oni nafshe velo etrichenu lebalabayas, you shouldn't cause the balabayas, lo rut sacharov, to have to run too much more after him, after the poor man. Continuing, umay taimo mahadar ape de dalid migimel, why is it that the back of the dalid is facing the gimel? In other words, as the goymel chasadim is looking at the dalet, you have the impression he's looking at the back. Answer, the litain lay betzina. It's a sign of betzina is something that's closed, that's not obvious, not in the open. So it should be done in a we say maybe the best word is privacy, in a private way. The idea of turning one's back is not showing yourself. It's an act, an expression of privacy, so that when the gomel chasadim wants to give the charity, she give it in a private fashion. Ki hechi delo lichsif minei. Lichsif means embarrassed, so as to prevent the poor man from being embarrassed. Hey vav. These letters represent zeh shmoi shel hakodesh baruch hu. Rashi on this point says, Hey vav kemo ani vahoy hoishiyono. We say this during the hoishanas of Sukkot, where we carry the arovas around on the Sukkot halei. We do this. We say this with regard to the carrying around the lulav and the hoishanas on Sukkot. Ani vaho hoishiyono. And the word vaho, you can see, has in it the letters hey and vav. They are. It's a name, albeit an uncommon name, but it's a name of the Almighty. The next letters, Zayin Ches Tes Yud Chof Lamed, the Imato Sekein, means if you do acts of loving kindness in a private way, like we just described, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And here we've tried with our markings to highlight the letters of what the Zayin through the Lamed represent. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu will repay you, Zon Oischa. He will support you, v'cheinotcho, will grant you grace, u'meitiv l'cho, he will do good unto you, v'notzen l'cho yerusha, will give you an inheritance, v'kosher lo keser, and he will give you a crown, l'olam haba, for the future world. Mem psucha, mem stuma. What do these letters represent? Ma'amar posuach, ma'amar sosum. Rashi explains on this, ma'amar posuach, ma'amar sosum, yesh dvorim, shenosan rishus l'dorshan, there are areas of the Torah that you are given permission to lecture, hold forth on them publicly, and there are those that you should not. You'll have to learn them, but you don't doresh them. You don't hold forth on them. Certainly not on a public level. Could go Maisa Merkava, things like the passage in the Novi called Maisa Merkava, which has to do with literally very heavenly matters, very holy matters, which only those who have a tradition on them can really learn them and study them in an accurate way. So that's called susum, something that is kept private, something that's kept quiet, not darshan publicly. Nun kfufa, nun pshuta, the Gemara goes on. The regular nun is the nun kfufa, and the nun pshuta is the final nun. Ne'emon kofuf, ne'emon poshut. Rashi explains, ne'emon kofuf, odom kosher, a person who is a kosher, proper individual, tzorchlios kofuf v'onov. He is supposed to be in his daily living in a humble and bent over fashion. Bent over doesn't necessarily mean posture, but it has to do with the ability to conduct oneself in a meek fashion. And then what happens if someone lives like that? Lives in a style of humility. So v'sofalios poshut v'zokuf l'olam haba, and then in the future world he will be straight and upright and prominent in the world to come. That's represented. That is what nun kfufa and nun pshuta represent. The Gemara continues, samach ayin. That's smoch. aniyim, that support the poor. Mishnah Achrina, another take on Samachayin is Simonin Asei Batorah Uknei Osa. Make simonim in the study of Torah. Simonim would be called things like mnemonic devices, different devices that help in learning Torah, especially help in retention of Torah. In fact, those who are familiar with many dapim of Gemara will notice from time to time the Gemara says, usually it's in the printed Gemaras, it's in parentheses, simon, it'll say simon, and then a few words or letters that follow that are there to help you remember the passage being taught. There are some people that want to say that even our marking system is a type of, we call them simunim, different markings that help in the learning of Torah. And for many people, our markings also help in the retention of their learning. Pei kufa, pei pshuta, the pei letter. You have the letter pei, the regular pei is a curly, bent type letter. And you have the final pei, which is a straight type letter. So pe pasuach, pe sosum. There is the pe pasuach, the open mouth, and there is the pe sosum, the closed mouth. So that Rashi explains pe pasuach b'shas hamechansim pazer. Mechansim is, this is a reference to, Rashi is making reference to a Gemara at the end of Maseches Brachos, where instructions are given to whether you should go out and spread Torah. So at a time that mechansim means that the people who you would expect to spread out and teach Torah don't. They gather in. So then pazer, you spread out and open your mouth, so to speak, and teach the Torah. That's pe posuach. Pesosum, Rashi says, b'shasim efazrin, when there are many that are out there teaching the Torah, then kanes, then you gather in, close your mouth, im yesh golo mimcha. If those that are out there are teaching are greater than you, leave them to do the work, and you, in the meantime, grow on your own. The next drosha, tzadi kfufa, tzadi psucha, pshuta, the bent tzadi, and the straight tzadi, the final tzadi, Tzadik kofuf, tzadik poshut. The righteous one that's bent over, that's meek, and the righteous one that is straight. Well, this is hainu namon kofuf, namon poshut. Is this not the same as that which we taught two lines before, that living in this world one should live in a humble and meek fashion, and in the world to come he will be prominent and straight? So the Gemara answers, basically you're right. However, hoisif lo hakosuf kfifo al kfifaso. Here the Torah is saying that there is, even if one is humble, if he can act in extra humility, so be it. That would even be more desirable. Mikan shenitna Torah b'monud rosh. From here we learn that the Torah was given, b'monud rosh would mean a bent over head. You know, that's literally. Rashi says, b'monud rosh b'reses v'anova yisera. It was given over, the Torah was given b'reses, meaning in trembling and extreme humility. So that the we can say in general terms, the environment and state of mind for proper growth in Torah learning is an environment and a personal state of mind that features humility. The Gemara continues, Kuf, the letter Kuf is Kadosh, and Resh equals Rasha. Kuf is Kadosh has sanctity, holiness, and Rasha, the embodiment of evil. My taimo mahadur api de kuf me resh. Why is it that the kuf is facing away from the resh? Rashi points out that this is really a euphemism. It's, technically speaking, it's the resh that's turned away from the kuf. But as you can see, it's more dignified to say that the kuf is facing away from the resh. As we go on in the Gemara, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein ani yochol istakel b'rosha. I can't look upon the rosha. Technically speaking, it's really the Rasha that's not looking at the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's not dignified to present it in that way. So what one is to take away from this Rasha is that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, I can't look at the Rasha. And that's what the Rashi says when he says that this Gemara is presented in a Lishnam Dema'al Yehu, we call a euphemism. The point being that the reason that the letters are not facing one another, but the back of one is to the other, is to communicate this idea that the Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot look upon the Rasha. Why is it that the tag of the kuf, the tag is a little extension at the tip of the kuf, that in the traditional Torah script, you add a little, there's a little extension to the kuf that's facing the resh. What does that represent? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im chozer bo, if the Rasha does tshuva, he atones for himself, he changes his ways, ani kosher lo keser kamosi, I will attach a crown to him like me, like I have a crown. Umay taimo kari de kuf tluyo, why is the leg of the kuf, the left hand side of the kuf is an extension, a leg that's tluyo, it's not attached to the roof of the kuf. In other words, there's an opening there, even though technically speaking there's already an opening at the bottom of the kuf. The question is why is there an opening also at the top whereby the leg of the kuf is not attached to the roof? Answer: the hodar bei layel. If he, the Rasha, wants to do tshuva, hodar is to choser, is to go back and do tshuva, layel, then he'll have a way to enter my realm, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, which represents the realm of holiness, of fulfillment of mitzvahs. So a little opening is made at the top of the letter. Question, the Leil Bahach, well, as we said before, there's already an opening at the bottom of the letter. Why is there a need for a new opening? Well, the answer to that will be based on Reish Lakish's teaching. So this Gemara is Messiah of Reish Lakish. This Gemara that says the Kuf needs an additional opening supports Reish Lakish's teaching. The Amar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, what is meant by the Pasuk, im leleitzim hu yolitz, lanovim yitein chein? The leitzim are the scoffers, the fools. So if people behave as fools, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu will behave thusly with them. And if they are anovim, if they are meek and humble, so he will grant them grace. What do we learn from this? Ba litame poslo, one who comes to defile himself, to sin. Oh, poslo, the door is opened. That means the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't prevent. The Kodesh Baruch Hu does not intervene in preventing free will. If a person chooses the path of tuma, of defilement, the door is open. Ba litahir, however, if a person wants to purify himself, that is Messiah also, he gets additional help. So the new opening on the kuf, the additional opening, is a sign that in order to do tshuva from heaven, a new opening is made so he can enter. He can enter this way. In other words, he needs a divine assistance in pursuing the path of tshuva, and he will. A person who makes a decision like that to do tshuva, to atone and choose the proper way, he gets special help, and that's represented by the special opening at the top of the kuf. Shin is sheker, tof is emes. The letter shin represents sheker, represents falseness, lying, and the tof represents the word emes. At the end of the word emes, you see a tuf. My taima, why is it sheker mekarvin milei, emes mirachka milei? The word sheker, you'll notice, is made of three letters that are actually in succession of one another. Even though the word sheker isn't spelled that way, but notice the word sheker is made of a kuf, followed by a resh, followed by a shin. I mean, when we say families, that's the letters in succession. So why is it that the word lie or falsehood is made of letters that are so close to one another, and the word emes is made of letters that are so far apart from one another? The aleph is the beginning of the aleph base of the alphabet, and the mem is pretty much in the middle, and the tuf is the last letter. Answer: shikra shchiach. Sheker is common. In other words, it's rapid. It happens in succession, one to the other. It's common. You find it often. A lot of lie is around. And kushta is emes. Emes lo sheikh is uncommon. In other words, what is actually true? What's the right way? That is something that you won't find. It's not popular. So from this one can base a cynical approach that many take, and that is that if you want to know the right way, just look at what everyone is doing and do the opposite. that might be a little cynical, it might be a little extreme, but that comment would reflect that which is said over here, that sheker is common, and that's represented by the letters that are one right next to the other. Emes is uncommon, and that's represented by the fact that the letters are far apart from one another. It's hard to come by. You have to go a long distance till you find the truth. And in fact, the entire world is a manifestation of that. To say that the entire world is living the true way. What is absolute truth? Absolute truth is that which is represented by the Torah. The Torah contains absolute truth. Exactly how to fulfill the details of the Torah, granted that is subject to a great deal of interpretation, as is represented by the Torah and the Torah Shebaal Peh, the different machlokasim in it, but all in all, that which the Torah contains is the truth. To suggest that that most of the world follows the way of the Torah, that's a far cry from the truth. And that is what we're saying over here, that the truth is something that's uncommon. We continue in the Gemara. Umay taimo shikra achado kare koi ve'emes melabein lebune. The letters shin, kuf, resh, each one of those letters in the traditional writing of those letters comes at the bottom of the letter, comes to a point. That's suggesting they stand on one leg. The letters forming the word emes, the aleph, mem, and the tof, they sit flat on the line. The aleph has a double leg, the two legs. It stands firmly on the line on which it's written. The mem has a flat bottom to it, and the tof also has two legs, as opposed to standing on a point. Why the difference? What does this represent? Answer, kushta koi. Kushta is emes, is truth. It stands. It's firm. Shikra lo koi. A lie will fall by the wayside. In other words, when a person lies, eventually lies are exposed. They fall away. That's what the actual letters and of the word sheker, the fact that they come to a point, indicates something that comes to a point, won't stand on its own. The Gemara now continues with more letter drushas. Under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature a Roman numeral 1 and 2, and they appear in the Gemara. These are drushos atbash. Al Rishoyim and Tzadikim. Now, what does Akbash mean? This is a form of letter, sometimes it's their letter exchange, letter interchanges, where you compare the relative positioning of letters one to the other. In the Akbash form of Drusha, we darshan the letters starting from the extremes of the alphabet and working your way in. For example, Aleph and Tav represent the first and last letters. Beis and Shin, Beis is the second letter, and Shin is the second to last letter. Gimel and Resh is the third, Gimel, third letter, and Resh is the third from the end. In that fashion, working your way in toward the middle. So in the next few lines, if you just look at the underlinings that we have here, we're highlighting the letters that will be darshan. The Aleph Tof, Beis, Shin, Gimel, Resh, Dalet, Kuf. And then we get to the Roman numeral number 2, where we will continue this type of drosha, starting again from the Aleph Tof, Beis, Shin, etc., working our way in toward the middle and trying to see what we darshan from these letters. So we continue now in the Gemara. At Bash. Osi To'ev. You see the Aleph Osi and Tof of To'ev. Osi To'ev. The you, this is, we're addressing an evil person. Osita of you, disdain me, says the Almighty. I am disgusting to you. So es avalo, I should have a desire for him. Beis shin b lo choshak shmi yahula love the b in me you don't have any desire. So should my name placed upon you? Should I show you grace, so to speak? Gimel Resh, Gufo Timei. The evil person has Gufo Timei, he has defiled his body, arachem olav. In these words, you see the word gufo has a gimel, and the word arachem has a resh in it. So we're darshaning these letters as representing this phrase. So he's defiled himself. Should I have compassion over him? Dalid kuf. Dal sosai noal. He's locked my doors. Karnav lo agadea. Should I not cut down his horn? Ad kan midas rishon. Until now, we've darshaned these letters in the context of the evil. Avol midas tzadikim, but the approach to the righteous, at bash, im ata bosh, if you are someone who has, busha is translated loosely as embarrassment or possibly humility, so if you are like that, someone who has, let's say, has sinned and is embarrassed over it, so it's a sign of his righteousness, he's embarrassed over his sin, so if a person is like that, so Gimel, Reish, Dalet, Kuf, each one of these we're working in from the ends of the from the two ends of the alphabet. Im ata oise kein, if you are like that, gor bedok. Gor, you will dwell. Bedok, dok means in the heavens. You will be zochet to olam haba. Hey, tzadi, vov, pei. Fifth letter from the beginning is the hey. Tzadi is fifth from the end. Vov, pei. And likewise, sixth from beginning, sixth from end. Chatzitzo havi beinoch laf. The word chatzitzo is spelled, it's true, it's spelled with a ches, but in drushes many times the he and the ches are interchangeable. So what is being said here, that if a person is practices a righteous way of life, where even if he sins, he's embarrassed over it and does penitence, so chatzitzo havi, there will be an interposition between you, beinoch laf, and wrath. In other words, a person is protecting himself from the wrath of the Almighty. Zayin ayin ches samach tes nun. Again, working in toward the middle of the alphabet. Ve'ein ato mizdazea min hasatan. So here you have the word mizdazea. In that word, there's a zayin and an ayin, and the word hasatan is actually the hey and the ches, as we said, interchange, and the sin and the samach interchange, and you have a tof and a nun. So, you will not be fear struck from the Sultan. The Sultan will not be capable of imposing his fear upon you. Yam Yud Mem Chof Lamed Omar Sar Shel Gehenim. The ministering angel over purgatory says, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Almighty, Ribbono Shel Olam Liyam Kol. I want all of them to come to me, to Gehenim. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu responds, and now you'll notice there's a new sequence of letters and their respectable drushes. So that in the, you'll notice the first three letters, Aleph, Ches, Samach. So to go from Aleph to Ches is a gap of seven letters, and we go from the Ches to the Samach likewise. And the next series of letters, Beis, Tes, Ayin, you're going also with a gap of seven letters between the Beis and the Tes, and the Tes and the Ayin, and Gimel, Yud, Pei, the same idea, the same letter sequence. So, after the Sar Shel Gehenim says to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want everyone to come to purgatory, so we have Aleph, we have Achas, Beta, Gif, Ani, Chos, Alehem, I have compassion over them, but neisha boatu begif. So you can see ani chos is, you have an aleph and ches and the samach, the aleph ches samach in the words ani chos, and then you have after that sheboatu at the end of this. You have the beis and the word boatu. You have the beis, the ayin, and the tes is there as well. Even though it's in a slightly different order, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I have compassion over them because they shabuatu begif. And you see their gif. Gif is niuf. They disdained, they repelled, they turned away from, boatu literally is they kicked immorality. In other words, they pursued a life of morality, and therefore I'm not sending them to purgatory. Dalid chof tzadi, dachim heim, dach is someone that is contrite, lowly, kainim heim, honest, and tzadikim heim, they are righteous. Hey, lamed, kuf, ein, l'cho, chilek, bohen. Again, the word chelek is, you have the ches at the beginning, the ches and the hey interchange. So hey, lamed, kuf, you don't have a portion in them, says the Almighty, to get to purgatory. The next letters are the vav, mem, resh, zayin, nun, shin, tof. Omar, gehenim, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribonu she'olam, the gehenim, purgatory, turns to the Almighty and says, Morim, O Master, Zanini Mizaro Shel Shase. I want you to feed me the offspring of Shase. Shase was the son of Adam HaRishon after Cain killed Hevel, so you were left with Cain and Shase. Shase eventually is the forerunner of humanity. So the Gehenna says, I want the offspring of Shase, including the Jews. Because, of course, everyone comes forth from Shase, so it includes the Jews. Omar Lay, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ein, and so he says again, and notice there's a new letter sequence that we're going to darshan, and that's Aleph, Lamed, Beis, Mem, Gimel, Nun, Dalet, Samach, which is understood as Ein Lecha Bohem, because Gan Hadas, Lehechon Olicham, where will I send them? You don't have the Jews. You're not going to get them because they are going to go the Gan Hadas. Gan Hadas means Gan Eden. Now, it was this, the way the Gemara is presented, the way we see it in the text, it's a little bit abbreviated, but Rashi is very helpful here. Rashi, that you'll notice, four lines, actually two lines from the bottom. You have, it says the Aleph Lamed Bem Beis Mem, Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yehe l'cho chelek bohem. So the idea here is the Omar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the purgatory, you will not have a chelek in them. Gan Das, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am sending them to Gan Eden. The drosha continues, hey ayin vav pe. It's again the same letter gap as we just saw. Continuing with the hay, and then the same gap till ayin. Omar ha'genem l'fei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shelam, oyef onochi. I am famished. In other words, if you are not giving me the zaro shel shes, which includes the Jewish people, then what am I going to do? I'm hungry. I need to consume people. So that's the purgatory's complaint. Zayin tzadi ches kuf. Halolu zaro shel Yitzchak. These are the offspring of Yitzchak. Zion is Zaro, and the Tzadi is a reference to Yitzchak, and as well as the Chof, the Ches and the Kuf form the name Yitzchak. I'm not giving you the Jews. Tor, that's Tes, Resh, Yud, Shin, Chof, Tov. Tor means wait. Yesh li kitos shkitos shel oivdik chavim shani nosinach. The Almighty says to purgatory, who's complaining, says, don't worry, I have kitos, or groups and groups, masses and masses of idol worshippers that I will give you. We now continue at the top of Amud Beis, the Mishnah. As we mentioned in our previous shiur, the Mishnah here continues with more rules concerning the Malacha of Kosev, under what circumstances will one be chayav. Hakosev shtei osios behelam echad chayav. One who writes two letters on Shabbos in one state of lack of awareness. In other words, as he's writing the letters, he writes the two letters not realizing between them that it is Shabbos, or not realizing that he is doing something wrong vis-a-vis malachas. The Mishnah continues, kosav bidyo besam besikra bekumus uvekankantom. One who writes using these different types of ink. The Gemara will explain each one of these inks, providing an Aramaic word to define what they are. And if he writes with any of these different types of inks, uvechol dover shuroshim, or any other substance that leaves a mark, al, what does he write on? Al shnei kosle zavios. On two walls that form a corner, at the corner where two walls come together, that's Shnei Kosle Zovios. where you can you'll end up you can see the two letters in proximity of one another. You can read them together, if you will. V'al shnei levachei pinkis v'heim nehegin ze im ze chayav. Shnei levachei pinkis, levachei would be, here we're talking about a type of etching tablet. You can imagine something like a notebook, and you write the two letters on two pages, but you're writing the two letters at the, we'll say, at the corner of the two pages, one letter on one corner and one letter on the other corner, where you can actually, even though the letters are written on two pages, they are still able to, nehegin means they can be read one with the other. Hakosev al besaro chayav, one who writes on his flesh, will also be chayav for kosev. Hamesoreit al besaro, one who scratches his flesh. Rabbi Lezer mechayav chatos. Rabbi Lezer says that that act is a Shabbos violation, and v'chom and pochim, and the chom say that that's not considered an act of kosev. Kosav b'mashkin b'meperos b'avak drochim, one who writes using a mashkin, some type of a fruit juice, or some other type of, we'll say, juice, meperos, of any other kind of fruits. Rashi, on the term mashkin, he says, kamo me tutim shemachshirin. Me tutim is the juice of a tutim type vegetation that it turns black. The fruit juice of the tutim turns black, and meperos means the juice of any other kind of fruit. Be'avak drochim, Rashi says it could be a type of cement, or a loshon achir is a person uses his finger to form letters in the dirt that's on roads. Be'avak hasofrim, Rashi says afroris shokesis hasofrim, it's type of ink powder, we'll say. Ubechol davar she'eno miskayim, or any other substance that doesn't last. So that if a person uses these substances, it's something like disappearing ink, or writes in dust or in dirt using his finger. These are things that won't last. Therefore, so even though temporarily you can see letters, but it's not something that lasts, so he will be exempt from the malacha of kosev. Li'achar yodo baraglo. If he, let's say, holds the pen or the quill on the back of his hand, in other words, he holds it between his fingers, but the point of the quill or of the pen is facing the back of his hand, or he writes with his feet or with his mouth, holding the pen between his toes or in his mouth, or holding the pen using his elbow. In other words, he creases or he folds in his arm at the elbow joint, and he holds a pen there and writes that way. Kosav ois achas samuch liksav. If there is something already written and you add one letter next to something that was already written to complete the word, Rashi says kosav ois achas samuch liksav eitzel ois haksuva ziveg. In other words, there was a one letter had been written, and he to complete the word, you have to add another letter. That's the case of ois achas somuch l'ksav, writing one letter next to something that was already written. Uksav al gabiksav, or tracing over something that's written. In other words, there's a word written out, and you write over those very letters. Niskavein lichtoiv ches v'kosav shnei zainin. He had an intention to write one letter, a letter ches, and it came out that two zions were formed. In other words, as he's making the roof of what he wanted to make, the roof of a ches, a little skip took place, and the line across the top of the ches wasn't a solid line, but rather appears as two lines, a line with a gap in the middle, two short lines, forming two zions. Achas ba'aretz v'achas b'kor, writing one letter on the ground and one letter on the ceiling. Kosav al shnei kosle abayis, he writes two letters on two say opposite walls. Al shnei dape pinkos ve'enegin zeim zeh. He writes two letters, but on two pieces of paper, on two tablets of that are not next to each other. In other words, they're not that you wouldn't read them together. So all of these cases are potter. One would be exempt. Kosav osachas no trikon. Before we go further, just Rashi clarifies something we read. Al shnei dape pinkos, you have a tablet that's written in columns, like a, Rashi says, like a Megillah. If you open up a Megillah or a Sefer Torah, so they're written in columns. So you wrote a letter on as part of one column, and then a letter on another column, and you can't bring that. You can't bring them together. You can't. Rashi says, "Eino yochol l'karvan," unless you cut the scroll and thereby being able to join the two columns together. But without that, they are far away. The letters are far from one another. So all of these cases, even though you've written two letters, but the two letters are removed or separated from one another in a way that they can't read them together without doing something else to draw them together, to bring them together, so he will be exempt. The Mishnah goes on, Kosav Oisachas no trikon. A person writes one letter, but that one letter is really a sign of a complete word. Rabbi Shua, that's a no trikon, one letter representing an entire word. Rabbi Shua ben Besera Machayev Achachom Potrin. In that case, you have a Machlokes Tanoyim. Rabbi Shua ben Besera says that in that case, the writing of one letter, being that it signifies an entire word, is considered as if you wrote two or two letters or the whole word. And the Chachomim, though, they say he remains exempt because practically speaking, or in actuality, is written only one letter. Here the Gemara goes over some of the materials mentioned in the Mishnah, the different inks. Dio is known as Diuta. Sam is known as Sama. In other words, the Gemara, being that it was a was written in Aramaic, and that was the language spoken by the people, so they, by saying Diuta in the time of the Gemara, that would make it clear what Dio was. Likewise, Sama would clarify what is meant by Sam. Sikra, what's that? Omar, Rabo. Bar Barchana, Sakrusa Shma. Sikra is, we call it Sakrusa. Kumus is known as Kuma. Kankantom, Omar Rabba Barchana, Omar Shmuel, Charsa de Ushkefi. This is a type of dye used by Ushkefi, our shoemakers. So it was a type of black dye that was used for coloring or staining shoes. The Gemara continues, Uvechol Dovar Shu Roshem. The Mishnah says, using anything else that leaves a mark. Lasuyemai, what does the Mishnah intend to include by this phrase, and anything else? Answer, Lasuyeha Detoni Rabbi Chananya, to include that which Rabbi Chananya teaches in the context of writing a get, a divorce document. And there he teaches, Kosvoi b'mei tarya v'aftza kosher. If one wrote a get using these materials, mei tarya or aftza, the get would be acceptable. So you can see that these different inks, these different liquids that are used as an ink, are also would also be create guilt as far as Shabbos is concerned, since it constitutes a an acceptable get. So it would also constitute a writing with regard to Shabbos and result in guilt. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Kosvoi ba'avor b'shochor u'b'shichur kosher. If one wrote a get using these materials, shochor and shichor and an avor, it would be an acceptable get, and that would also have ramifications with regard to a Shabbos violation. In many cases, as we've seen in numerous sugyas before in this Masechta, Rashi, in explaining the different materials, uses French words. For our purpose, we don't have to focus right now on the actual translation. We're trying more to get the gist of the Gemara, is that when the Mishnah uses an expression of v'chol davar shuroshem, other materials are included, including, as we saw over here, meitaryo, aftza, avor, shochor, and shichor. Hamasaret al besoro. Our Mishnah said, one who scratches on his flesh. So that would be something that is potter. that even though you wrote two letters, but you wrote it through scratching them on your flesh, that's not considered writing. Tanya, Omar Lohen, Rabbi Elazar, Lachachomim. Rabbi Elazar, who disagreed with the Chachomim regarding Mesaret al-Basara, we saw this machlokus in the Mishnah, they say to the Chachomim, Rabbi Elazar says, that is, Rabbi Elazar says to them, to the Chachomim, Rabbi Elazar says that Mesar Basara is chayav, it is considered an act of writing. He tries to argue, he says, Velo ben Satada, Ben Satada is the name of a person who we'll see shortly was involved with the area of black magic. He says, Ben Satada hoitzi kshofa mimitzrayim besrito shal Basara. In order to know how to do some different types of spells, so different, let's say, incantations or letter formations were needed to be known, and Mitzrayim was the capital, was the seat of black magic. This gentleman, Ben Satada, wanted to take away from Mitzrayim some spells. In order to know what they were, we should point out, Rashi points out that in Mitzrayim there were guards posted at the different exit points to make sure no one was carrying with them spells. They wanted to keep a monopoly on that area of knowledge. So Ben Satata, realizing he would be checked out if he had any little pieces of papers, any tzetlach with different shofim written on them, different spells written on them. So what did he do? He scratched the spells onto his flesh. What is Rabbi Elazar trying to do over here? He's trying to show from Ben Satata that scratching is a legitimate way of writing. So the source continues, Omru lo, they said back to Rabbi Elazar, Shaita haya, Ben Satada was a shaita. Literally, he was a fool. Rashi says, Shtus haya bo lasos ma she'en derech b'nei adam oisim. This ridiculous idea entered his mind to do something that ordinary people would not do. Umosur nafshel al adover, and he risked his life over this matter. So the Gemara says once again, Omru lo shoyte hoya, vein mivin raya min ashoytem. Someone who does something that's particularly odd is not going to serve as the source for halacha. So we don't bring a raya. We don't bring proof from these kind of people. We don't bring proof from the fools. Kosav ois achas somuch liksav. Writing one letter next to a letter that was already written, thereby you completing a word. We saw in the Mishnah that one who does that is potter. So it means he's exempt, because in actuality he wrote one letter. Montana, who would say that one who writes one letter, even though it completes a word, is not chayav? Omar Rava bar Rav Huna, the lo k'Rebbe Elazar. This is not like the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. De'i Rebbe Elazar, for if we were trying to reflect Rebbe Elazar's opinion, Ho Omar, he said in a different context that doing that which ordinarily is a partial act, but it's an addition to something that's already there. He says, Ho Omar, Rebbe Elazar said, Achas al ha'orig chayav, that one who weaves in a singular strand, a singular thread on something that's already been woven will, yes, be chayav. That even though if you're starting out something afresh, weaving one thread would not be guilty, but if you're weaving the one thread onto something that's already been written, that does result in guilt, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Likewise, writing one letter whereby you're attaching it to a letter, and you thereby are forming a word with your adding of the one letter, Rabbi Eliezer would have said chayav. Our mission says he's exempt, hence our mission is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Ksav al gabi ksav. Our Mishnah said that that would be exempt. Man tana, who would say that writing over a word that's already been written, is tracing over existing letters, is exempt? So Om Rav Chisda de lo k'Rabbi Yehuda says this is unlike Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would hold one guilty for that. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda assigns significance to tracing over a word. And that is taught in the following Tanaic source, Disanya, as is taught, Harei Shoya Tzorch Liftov as Hashem. Imagine someone is in the need, he's writing a Sefer Torah or a Mezuzah, and he needs to write the name of Hashem. So he's got to a point in his Torah writing where he's come upon the need to write the name of Hashem, and the name of Hashem is made of four letters. You have, there's a Yud, and there's also a He, and that is followed by a Vav, and which is followed by a He. And he comes to that point. He didn't write anything yet. V'niskave lichtov Yehuda, and it enters his mind that I want to write Yehuda. Now you'll notice the word Yehuda has all the four letters of the name of Hashem plus a Dalet in toward the end of that name. So he needs to write the name of Hashem, but has the kavona for something else for Yehuda. V'tov Elohito Bodal, and he writes four letters. In other words, he writes Yehuda, but he leaves out the Dalet. So in effect, what has he done? He's written what he needs to write, but he didn't have the kavona. He didn't have the intent. And when you're dealing especially with the name of Hashem, the intent is very important. It's very important to have the proper intention when you're writing the name of the Almighty. So what should someone like this do? He wrote what he needs to write, but he didn't have the intention. Mavir olav kumus umekacho divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda suggests, trace over the letters, the Yud and the Hey, etc. Trace over them with the proper intent. The Chachamim ein Hashem min hamufra. The Chachamim say that even doing that, you're leaving it as an undesirable writing of the shame of Hashem. It's not a choice way of doing things. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you see that tracing over is the proper thing to do. Hence, our Mishnah that says tracing over existing letters is not chayef, would not be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, who assigns a premium to tracing over letters. Tana, kosav ois achas v'shlimo l'sefer. A person writes one letter, and that one letter is the last letter of the scroll. Rashi says, shal achas michof dalet sforim, one of the 24 books of the Tanakh. So we're describing here someone who's writing a singular letter, but it's the last letter needed to complete the book. Orag chut echod v'shlimo l'beged, chayav, where he weaves in one thread, and that completes a garment. That's the last thread that needs to be woven in, thereby completing it, chayav. So we have a Tanaic source says that in these two examples, one would be in violation of Shabbos. Man Tana, who would author that idea? What do we see in this source? We see an act that, if done in isolation, would have been considered an incomplete act, a partial act. And yet, here, he's doing that same act, but it's completing something. He's chayev. Man Tana, who would say such a thing? We have two approaches to answer the question of who would say it. Omar Rabo bar Rav Huna, Rabbi Eliezer he. This is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. The Omar Achas al ha'orig chayav. We've seen this, we just saw this before, that Rabbi Eliezer says that if you have a cloth that's been partially woven, and you add one more strand to that cloth that's being woven, adding one strand to something in the process of being woven results in chiyuv. So the source we just read, adding one strand and completing the garment, would be guilty. That conforms to Rabbi Eliezer, and likewise adding one letter, thereby completing the sefer, and that would be chayev, is in the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Ashi, a second approach to the question of man tana, Rav Ashi yomar afilu teimer rabbanan. The source we just read in the frame, that could conform to the rabbanan as well. Lahashlim shiny. Here, you're completing the work. When you are doing an act of literal completion, finality, end, even the Rabbanan will concede that that's an act of sufficient significance to warrant a Shabbos violation. Rabbi Lezer was more extreme and says, even if it's not a complete act, you're simply adding to something that's already partially been made, that even that is chayev. That, however, is not what the source was talking about. The source was talking about an act of completion. So as far as Rav Ashi is concerned, even the Rabbanan, who ordinarily disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, will concede that that will result in a chiyuv Shabbos. Omar Rabbi Ami, kosav ois achas b'teveria v'achas b'tzipori. A person on Shabbos, he writes a singular letter in Teveria, and a second letter in Tzipori. Chayav. Now, he might very well have written the letters on two separate pieces of paper. He wrote one letter on a piece of paper in Tveria and one letter on a piece of paper in Sipori. He's chayav. Why is that? Ksivohi. He's written two letters. Elishemuchusu kreva. All that's missing is joining, bringing the two pieces of paper together, placing them next to one another. The Gemara asks, "V'ha tnan kosav al shnei kosle habayis, v'al shnei dape pinkos." If you wrote on two facing walls or on two separate columns of a scroll that's written in a column form and as a result the two letters cannot be read together, he's exempt. So too in the case of if you're writing one letter in Tveria and one letter in Sipori, they can't be read together. The Gemara answers there's a fundamental difference. In the case of writing two letters on two opposite walls or two letters on two separate columns of a scroll, in order to have the letters read together, you'd have to cut the letters out from where they are and then place them together. That's a maisa, the cutting. That's maisa, the kreva, an action that will lead to your able ability to bring them together. Hacha, in the case of writing one letter in Tveria and one letter in Sipori, lo mechusar maisa de kreva. There's no additional action that's needed to the letters before you bring them together. All you have to do is place the two letters together. No additional act is necessary. And no additional act of cutting or carving out is necessary. The only issue by the two cities is the gap between the cities, and just by drawing them together, that's not considered a significant lacking, and therefore he will be chayev in that case of Oisachas Tveria and Oisachas Betzipori. Tana, Higia Oisachas Chayav. Higia would mean he corrected one letter and thereby with the letter corrected. So now the safer is acceptable. That is a Shabbos violation. So the Gemara asks, Hashta kosav oisachas poter higia oisachas chayav. Mind you, writing a complete letter from scratch, writing from the outset, writing a complete letter is exempt. Making a minor correction to a letter, that should carry with it guilt? How could that be? Omar Rav Sheshes. We have two approaches to this. Rav Sheshes says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, this source that says that by making a correction in a letter, a slight letter alteration is chayav. What is the case? Kigon shenotlo legagoy shel ches ve'aso shnei zainin. He removed the solid roof over the letter ches, thereby making it into two zayins. Now Rashi adds what I think is the central piece of information, and that is he says v'asefer lekach tzorach, and the scroll that he needed that he was writing needed the two zayins. So that the letter alteration here, in effect, is like making two letters, insofar as he needed the two zayins, and by making the erasure in the roof of the ches, he thereby, in effect, formed two zayins, and those two zayins were needed, so that's why it's chayav. That's a significant act. Rava Omar kigon shenotloi letagoi shel dalid v'aso reish. The case of Higia Osachas is where he removed the protrusion of the Dalet. The Dalet is made of two perpendicular lines with the roof of it protruding back a bit. So what he did here is he altered, we'll just say it like this, he altered the roof of the Dalet, making it into a Reish. And that slight alteration was necessary, being that he needed to have a resh there. So the, and now again, Rashi adds the crucial information that the sefer needed this, and there is a law based on the pasuk al tashken bolachavlo. You should not have svarim that are that are inaccurate in your possession. And he, in this case, he needed the resh. And Rashi says, "V'havi le kikosav oisachas v'shlimu sefer." This is tantamount to the writing of a letter that completes the sefer. In other words, without this correction, the sefer was unusable. It was not kosher. Wasn't acceptable. Every letter in a sefer Torah needs to be exact. Needs to be accurate, so that the correction here, in effect, makes the Sefer Torah a complete, useful Sefer Torah. As we saw before, in the case of writing one letter that completes a Sefer, everyone agrees that it carries with it guilt. So that's the idea of Higia Oisachas Chayav. He made the letter correction, thereby completing the Sefer. Tana, a Tanaic source that teaches Niskavein Lichtoiv Oisachas, the Olu Biyodo Shtayim Chayav. He had intention of writing one letter, and what resulted were two letters. So he is Chayav. The Gemara asks, V'ha Tnan Potter, but in this very case of Niskavei Lichtoiv Oisachas, and he ended up writing two letters, we have learned that that would be Potter. Lo kashya, there is no problem, no contradiction here. Ha de boy zuni, ha de lo boy zuni. If the letters that were written require still the zuni, these were little letter protrusions on the top. Sometimes they're referred to as crowns. If they require that, so being that it still requires the zuni and it doesn't have it yet, so even though two letters resulted, that is what was meant by Potter. He will be exempt. However, if the ziyuni are already in place, and he had intended to write one letter, but two letters resulted, and the two letters already have the ziyuni in place, that will be chayev. Kosav ois achas no triko, Rabbi Yishuv ben Besera, mechayev achom and potrin. The writing of one letter, and the one letter is representative of an entire word. Rabbi Yeshua ben Masera says that is guilty, that carries with it a Shabbos penalty, and the Chalmim say he is exempt. This section of Gemara, we have our Nosei heading, in which we've written no trikon. No trikon is this idea of something that's abbreviated. The Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. We have some numbering over here, and you'll see as we go on in the Gemara, a number of different examples of no trikon appear. In other words, words that are written in the Torah, and they really are abbreviations of something else. So, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Minayin Loshon no trikon min haTorah. Where do we have a basis for this concept of abbreviation in the Torah itself? Shinemar, there is a pasuk that says, regarding Avram Avinu, it says, Ki av hamon goyim nesaticha. That's a description of Avram Avinu. But notice, the words av hamon are actually abbreviations of something more extensive. What do these words really comprised of aleph, beis, hey, mem, vav, nun represent? Av nesaticha le'umos. I've made you a father. Avram Avinu was a giant in his generation, was like a father of the nations. Bochur nesaticha b'umos, the chosen one of the nations. The word hamon is broken up into, and we've mentioned earlier that the hey and the ches can interchange, so the word hamon is choviv nesaticha b'umos, beloved amongst the nations, the hey and the ches interchanging. Melech nesaticha b'umos, you are a king over nations. Vosik nesaticha b'umos, you are distinguished amongst the nations. Ne'emon nesaticha b'umos, and trustworthy amongst the nations. So Av Hamon is really an abbreviation of all of these different characteristics of Avram as the Almighty perceived him. Rabbi Yochanan Didei Omar. Up till now, we saw Rabbi Yochanan quoting Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Here, Rabbi Yochanan on his own says, the word Anochi, which is at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, so the word Anochi is a no-tree cone. What does Anochi represent? it's made of the word, the letters Aleph, Nun, Chof, Yud. Ano, Nafshi, Ksivas, Yahavis. I myself, says the Almighty, I myself have given you this writing. In other words, the Torah. I myself have made it. Rabbonon Amri, the word Anochi, is representative of Amira, Ni'ima, Ksiva, Yahiva. Pleasant sayings in writing I have given to you. The Torah being a book, a work of pleasantry, if you will. Elsewhere we find Dorachel, Darkei, Noam, like the word Ni'ima, V'chol Nesivoseha, Shalom. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and its all its paths are a way of peace. Iko the Amri, Anochi, Limafreya. You take the word Anochi and darshan it, and you expound upon it backwards, starting with the Yud, and then the Chof, the Nun, and the Aleph. Yahiva Ksiva Ne'emonim Amorea. I have given you a writing, I've given you the Torah, and its sayings are trustworthy. A third approach, Debei Rabbi Nosson Amri, a third example of no trikon in the Torah. Here is a posuk from Bilam, who was sent for by the king of Moab, by Balak, to curse the Jewish people, and he came riding on a donkey. And the posuk says, Ki yara haderech lenegdi, yara ro'asa notsa. The animal was fear struck. It saw, in fact we know in the story, it saw an angel, the notsa, and it veered off the path. So the word yarat is made of, it represents these words. Number four, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Carmel. This word is in the context of the Omer offering. This is a meal offering brought from barley grains on the second day of the Pesach holiday. It's called the Minchas Omer. Carmel, Kar Mole. That means that the grains brought as the Omer offering had to be brought from fresh grains that weren't dried and shriveled, but Kar Mole means complete and fresh, full grains. Rav Acho Bar Yankiv Omar, a fifth example of no trikon. This is from Sefer Melachim, V'hu kililani klola nimretzes. This is a pasuk that David HaMelech said to his son Shlomo regarding a Sheva ben Bichri, and the word nimretzes is a notri cone, and David HaMelech is describing how he had been cursed by that individual. A klola is a curse, nimretzes. Noef who? He's describing Sheva ben Bichri as a Noef, as a person of immorality. Moavihu, he was like a Moabite. Rotzehu, he's a murderer. Tzorerhu, he is an oppressor. Toeva, who he is repulsive. Rav Nahum Yitzchak Omar, another example of no trikon. This pasuk was said by the brothers of Yosef toward the end of Sefer Bereishis, when they were caught, so to speak, by Yosef, not realizing yet that he was Yosef, and they said, "What can we say, and how can we justify ourselves?" Now the word nitzadok, what they were trying to indicate is nechonim anachnu, we are honest people, we are correct and true people. Tzadikim anachnu, we are righteous. Tahurim anachnu, we are pure. Dachim anachnu, dach is also an expression of humility. And kedoshim anachnu, we are holy. They were trying to justify themselves in the eyes of Yosef, who had was holding them on charges of their having stolen from him. The Mishnah, Hakosev Shnei Osios B'Shtei Ha'alamos. One who writes two letters on Shabbos, but in two states of lack of awareness. In other words, he wrote one letter, not realizing that it was Shabbos, then became aware that, oh, today is Shabbos. And then later he wrote a second letter, forgetting that it was Shabbos. Achas Shachris V'Achas Ben Arbaim. One letter he writes in the morning, and one letter in the afternoon. Rashi says, Kevon de Havilei Shehus Ben Taim Kedei Leida, since there was enough time between these two letters to realize that it was Shabbos, even if he didn't realize in the interim, but there was enough time to realize, Havilei Kishtei Halomos. It's like the case of two states of awareness, or lack of awareness. So in these cases, Rabbi Gamliel Mechayev v'Chachomim Potrin, Gamliel says he's guilty, and the Chachomim say he is not guilty. But my komifli, what's the underlying point of controversy? Rabbi Gamliel Savar ein yedia l'chatzi shiur. Yedia is a state of awareness. Ein yedia, we don't recognize his awareness in the middle as being an awareness when it appears, when this state of recognition of it being Shabbos is between two half shiurim. If we just backtrack for a moment and apply the concept of yediyah in another case, where let us say a person does a malacha of Shabbos, he cooks up some food, not realizing that it's Shabbos. He cooks up an egg on Shabbos, not realizing that it's Shabbos. And then, after cooking up the egg, he realizes that it's Shabbos. And then, once he forgets afterwards and cooks up another egg on the same Shabbos. So there's, in a case like that, he's done a complete act of cooking, realizing in the middle, realizing afterwards that it's Shabbos, and then he forgets and does it again. He'll have to bring two separate chatos. This is a concept known as yedios mechalkos. Awareness, interim, in the interim, creates a chiluk, creates a separation, and that you won't be able to fulfill your sin offering obligation by bringing just one. Mechalkos, you have to bring a separate one for each act. So yedia serves to separate. Rabbi Gamliel, though, says that when the recognition, the awareness, comes between two partial quantities, the awareness doesn't serve to split them up. So what in effect you have is the joining together of the two partial quantities to create the necessary shiur amount, the necessary amount for a Shabbos violation. So that's Shitas Rabbi Gamliel, Ein Yediyah L'chatzi Shiur, and therefore the two partial shiurim can join up to form a complete unit of melacha, and therefore Rebbe says that writing two osios in Shnei Halomos, even though there was an awareness between the two, it doesn't separate the two letters and separate them legally, and they join up to form a complete unit. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, Rabbanon Savri, Yesh Yediyah L'chatzi Shiur, awareness between two partial shiurim serves to split them apart, and in that case, it results in a leniency where he didn't do a complete act in one state of haloma, one state of lack of awareness. That completes the perek habone, completes the 12th perek of Shabbos, and with that, we also complete our shiur for today.